later on with the authority 2600.
Well, the maybe I should go back in the chronology of things. The 2600 was conceived of shortly after we started since we had a success with consumer phones. We knew that we needed variety and innovation, and we felt that the world. Do any of you guys remember Sun Cycle? And we did several Super Pong and some of these. We felt that the life cycle for single-purpose games was vanishing because, you know, you can only have your closet full and enough of that crap. Because as much as they were, you know, they were fun, Sun Cycle was basically a wonder. And, once you played it a few times, been there, seen it, done it, pull it out when your friends come over. But other than that, it's pretty boring game. So we decided we needed a multi-game. And since we were now had a good feeling about the 6502 as a core microprocessor, we felt that we could do a graphics chip that could do pretty well. Of course, one of the problems was that memory was so expensive. RAM memory at that time was so expensive. We felt that we absolutely had to be under $200 retail. And the hardest part about the design of the 2600 was cost. Getting it under the $200 retail price point. In fact, it was a significant contingent inside of Atari that believed that it had to be under $149. Which at that time seemed like an awful lot of money. But we felt that we could do it for under $200, and so we designed it for that. It turned out that just before we actually went into manufacturing, we had a significant price reduction on the 6502 chip that we were able to get. And so we were able to make up for a couple of other mistakes that we made, like we screwed up on the cooling and the plastic cost us more. In the manufacturing line, we had this one position, it was called the hammer. And basically, the two pieces of the 2600 didn't fit together right. And the only way you could do it is to kind of get it seated and then with a great big hammer, really whack it. And it was one of the fun things. Interesting anecdote on that is we couldn't hire enough people for our production line, particularly the night shift, for the 2600. And so we decided that what we'd do is put everybody, all the engineers, all the accountants, all the salespeople on the production line for 3 weeks and just put the regular job on hold. They'd go there, spend an hour doing what they normally did, and the rest of the time they had to be on the production line, cleaning the instrument and all the vice presidents and that sort of thing. And it turned out that that was an extremely valuable thing because you'd go out and you'd look at the production line and it looked like everybody was loafing. But you got us, badass executives out there and you put them on the production line and all of a sudden it was like losing an apple and you couldn't keep up and so you had to sort of slow things down so you got it figured out a little bit. But the thing that was really fun is after the engineers were on the line for 2 or 3 days, we had about 140 engineering change notices. For things, and productivity and efficiency of the line just skyrocketed. Things like specifying a different screw so that you only had, instead of having 240 turns on the screw, you only needed 6, and things like that. And it was really, and they were actually able to figure out a way to get rid of the hammer position. Steve Jobs was were probably 17 or 18 at the time, And Steve was recommended to me by somebody, and I can't remember who it was, but a smart young kid can do a lot of stuff. So Steve, being Steve, was in the engineering department probably no more than about 3 weeks, and he managed to piss everybody off. And it was about to be laid off. And so I was sort of the last patron saint for engineers in trouble, because I always felt that anybody who was talented had a place in a company, but they had to be able to figure out a way to deal with personality quirks, otherwise they were going to get them. And so we agreed to put Steve on night shift and to work on a special project. And I was actually looking for an engineer to do a project tonight. We had evolved in our sort of quest for democracy and a workers' utopia that engineers could bid on the projects that they were working on. We'd have a planning session, we'd decide which projects we were going to do, and then the engineers would decide which one. You know, it would sort of be a draft, and the engineers who had been doing the most productive games could get third draft and have the other games. So I had designed a game while I was in Hawaii that was, buffed brick. And the thought, and this was probably a year and a half, 2 years after Pong had sort of had its day and had gone away. And so nobody wanted to bid on my best of it. They said it was a ball and paddle game, and don't you know that ball and paddle games are dead? And I said, no, this thing has a good feeling to it. You know, I can really see it in my mind. And I wanted somebody to program it up for me. And nobody would. And so this had gone on for about 3 months, and I used my best to join, and nobody would. And so Steve Jobs sort of ended up being under my tutelage, and so I put in to work on it. And a couple of weeks later, they came in and with what was the first breakout. And of course, breakout turned out to be a huge successful game, and that's how Steve ended up designing it. Another interesting anecdote, Steve was going to quit and go to India because he had taken up with a Indian mystic and had decided he wanted to go and pursue enlightenment. And we had a problem with our games in Germany. And so our sort of parting shot with Steve is he says, I'll go and I'll fix the problem in Germany for free, and all you have to do is buy me a ticket to Germany, but at the other end, instead of coming back to California, I want to go on to India. So that's what we did. So Atari paid for Steve Jobs' trip to India, where he got an infection and almost died. But he came back and had an epiphany, I guess, in a fever-induced trance and came up with the Apple II. Yeah. Who again? You know, I'm not sure. Yeah, I think he did, now that I think about it. Unfortunately, there was a time when the company turned into 3 divisions and 4 divisions and 5 divisions, and you just, you know, there was sort of a core 300 people that I got to know really well. And as the company got to 1,000 and 2,000 and 4,000, you know, it gets spread out a little bit. We got 15 more minutes. What do you want to hear about? Anything? How did I come to... I actually came up with Breakout laying on the beach, sort of doodling in the sand. And basically what I wanted to do was to have a game that represented cleanup and completion. And I believe that there's something in people's innate makeup and psyche that they like to clean stuff up, you know, get everything. And so I wanted to have it be a structure in which you're cleaning up, but also I wanted it to be in a reward that if you could get the ball up on top, that it was doing a lot for you to clean things up with very little activity on your part. And I thought that was really a good psychic reward. And it turned out that it worked well for them. But more than considered, I actively pursued buying Atari CoinUp and had negotiated a price from Hasbro for the Atari name, for the consumer rights. What happened is Atari was essentially bifurcated into the consumer and the coin-op side, and Atari Games went to the ability to use the name Atari Games went to the coin-op, Atari Inc. went to consumer. The consumer went to, you know, the from Tramiel to Hasbro to Infogrames. And I was trying to buy, I had a bid in to buy Atari CoinUp in the name. William actually had, William of Midway had a bid in that was actually lower than mine. Because I had a mole on the inside telling you what all the bids were. You got to do your good espionage. And one of the things that you learn about big companies is that they like to bury their dead quietly. And so they felt that Atari going into Midway would probably go away. But the last thing they wanted is to have Atari come back and be highly successful because it would make them look like idiots. And they actually gave it to Midway, even though they bid $2 million less than we did. Really pissed me off.